I think church is so important to hear testimony. It serves as an encouragement, it serves as a teaching, and it builds within us things that we are able to see in others who give that testimony, and then we say, I know God can do that for me. So if you heard any of the testimonies this morning, and you think, that's for me, take it. Take it. It's yours. And I think that's the reason the Lord speaks sometimes in that way, so that you who are sitting there and say, I don't have a testimony, suddenly you will. We have this year been looking at a theme that's entitled Built to Last. And last week, I entitled my teaching on building blocks. And one of the key words that one of my new words, and I hope it's your new word, was Christiformity. Christiformity, you can all say it. Christiformity. And it is a person who is shaped, formed, and filled with the character and the nature of Christ Jesus. And we had a scripture that supported that from Romans. He says, for those who he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. We are to be, if you want to set before you what God has said, is I want you to be conformed to the image of my son. So that in this dark place down here are all of these wonderful little lights that are walking around, and they are reflecting their Savior. And they are being conformed. And part of that conforming is that we need to make sure that we are yoked with him. He said, oh, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And that's important. See, if we don't slip our head into his yoke and walk with him, and I talked about this last week, if we slip out, sometimes we go over here to where we shouldn't be and do the things that are contrary to being conformed. Or sometimes we're over here doing all sorts of good things. Wow, I'm doing all kinds of good things. And God's saying, you're not yoked to me. Those are nice things, but they're not necessarily what I have for you. So come back and be yoked to me. And I gave this diagram, if you will, that in order for us to be filled, we need to have Christ with us. We need to be yoked to him. And as we are yoked to him, it impacts our conduct and our character. I think I mentioned last week, we are, Danny and I are working our way through the Bible in 2 years. We just came across this from Genesis 50, where Jacob gives the blessing to his 12 sons. And as we were reading it, I realized that a lot of how he formed that blessing was based on two things: their conduct and their character. And so it's important to God that as we walk down here, our lives reflect the conduct and the character of Christ Jesus. Now, today's message is called Moth, Rust, and Thieves. And you probably are familiar with that particular passage. And my intent is to say, you know, We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against crafty deceivers, those who want to steal what we've been given. And I think that that's so important that we heard today. This is what Christ died for. He died that we may have life and have it abundantly. And don't let the enemy steal from you. Don't let him steal. So, question that I begin with sometimes is, we have culture that impacts us so it becomes so confronting to us. Culture? Confronting? Well, yeah. And here's what I mean by that. If you take a look at this, we have music that impacts us. We have politics, race, lifestyles, the internet, entertainment, sports, fashion, media, all impact us. And I learned a new acronym the other day, FOMO. Well, right. If you're under 35, you understood that, right? FOMO. Fear of missing out. And that's what the culture says. You don't want to miss out on this. This is really important. And it draws your attention. And it draws your lifestyle away from Christ. Because the culture says, oh. Now, I'm going to give you two examples. And you can, one of them, I'm just learning all this stuff, okay? So it's like I've been Rip Van Winkle. I've been asleep for 40 years, and my wife's over there. Yeah, he's just. Stanley tumblers. You have to have a Stanley tumbler. Now, I want to tell you, when I was a kid growing up, my uncle, who worked at the auto plant in Cleveland, he had a Stanley tumbler. He didn't call it that. It was a thermos, and he put it in his lunchbox because he went to work. And at lunch, he got into his lunchbox, and there was his Stanley thermos filled with coffee, and it was still hot. Stanley, the company, in 2019, they had a revenue of $73 million. Now, this is really important, because in 2023, their revenue was $750 million. $73 million to $750 million in 4 years. Thank you, all of you who have purchased Stanley tumblers. You have been impacted by the culture. Do you have a Stanley tumbler? I don't have a Stanley tumbler. You need a Stanley tumbler. One more thing, and then I can move on from this, but just to give you a sense of how old I am. When I was a kid growing up, we had dungarees. Sorry, we didn't have jeans. We had dungarees. I never wore dungarees to school. You wore those afterwards. But they had something. If you had a rip in your knee or somewhere, it was evident that you came from a very poor family. And so they had these little patches. They were called iron-on patches, and you ironed them onto the rip so that the rip wouldn't be there, and you can continue to wear your dungarees. And so I'm walking down the street, or I'm in a store these days, and I see somebody with has ripped pants. And my heart goes out for them. I want to give them $20 to buy a pair of dungarees because theirs have rips in them. I don't know. I didn't know that they paid $70 for those. with rips. We are impacted by the things around us. And it has an intention. It has an intention to take your eyes off the cross of Christ Jesus. It has an intention to sway you. So, just a brief stop here. In 1 John we read, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but it's from the world." Now, I'll tell you something. We are, in this day and age, more prone to having the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, that self-motivation. I can do this. It's important for me to be all that I can be, instead of that surrendering. Now, what I've always found interesting is that this, which John writes, is exactly the same as how the woman in the garden was deceived. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the flesh, and that it was delight to the eyes, lust of the eyes, and that it was desirable to make one wise in their own eyes. And that's when she fell into the temptation. So all that is in the world, wait a minute, one more temptation. I'm going to have to summarize this. See, when Jesus was taken up and went into the wilderness, he had three temptations. One, turn this bread into stone, or this stone into bread. Lust of the flesh. Aren't you hungry? Don't you want that? The second temptation that he faced was the devil took him to the top of the temple and he showed him all of the kingdoms to come in this world. And he said, "Do you see them? They can all be yours if you just worship me." Lust of the eyes. Do you see it? This is good for you. Won't you do it? And of course, we know how Jesus answered that. And then the third one, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself off of this cliff, and the angels will carry you, and you will not even bruise your foot. Pride of life. You can do this. Throw yourself off, and God will catch you. So we are faced in this life, as we look at character development and conduct, we continually come under temptations. And I want to tell you, and that's what the rest of this message is about, how subtle deception can be. We'll get there. Oh, there it is. Okay. We need to be reminded do not be conformed. You've heard this 1,000 times, but how easily it is to be conformed. Now, I'm not opposed to ripped jeans, believe me. And I'm not opposed to tumblers, Stanley tumblers or whatever tumbler you want to use. I'm not opposed to those. What I am opposed to, and I'm hearkening to you, don't let these things, don't let FOMO pull you in, fear of missing out. The only place you should be pulled into FOMO is if you're missing what God has for you. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and perfect and acceptable. And then we are reminded that we're formerly in darkness, but now we're in light. So, new diagram. I'm into C's these days, okay? Complacency, compromise, and corrosion. Very simple things that you may or may not be able to see as the deceptor brings you into them. So we're going to talk about complacency first. Complacency, by its own definition, is showing uncritical satisfaction with oneself or one's achievements. A person who is pleased with themselves and feel that they do not need to do anything about a situation. It's the old, I'm okay. I'm very comfortable where I'm at. I don't need to do anything. I don't need to go beyond. And I've characterized it by saying, well, if we could come up with 2 words to define complacency, what would it be? Maybe later. I'll do that maybe later. Maybe later. Now, Jesus was talking about complacency when he talked about this in Luke 17. He said, and just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were complacent. Thought things were just fine the way they are. We loved it. We're comfortable. Let's not upset the apple cart. They were planting. All those other ones were added in there in case you didn't notice that. They were planting and they were building. Complacency. It's all okay. It's all okay. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. See, sometimes the devil teaches us to be just comfortable, complacent. Everything's okay. You don't have to do anything else. Let's go to church on Sunday. Pretend that you're interested in the sermon. But it'll be okay. Don't pursue. Don't pursue what he wants for you. You're okay. And it becomes very subtle to us. It will just be the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. There's no maybe later then. Concerning Hebrews says, concerning, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Think about dull of hearing. You know, I've had this conversation with Judah. I said, you know, sometimes I'm worried that by the time they get to the car, they've forgotten the sermon. Just didn't go in. They were dull of hearing. Or, and I'm not trying to bring condemnation, I'm trying to teach you that you have an enemy, and your enemy wants to convince you of certain things. That being complacent is okay. And it's not. And here's a disclaimer. If that doesn't fit you, don't wear it. Don't wear it. I'm not trying to bring condemnation. I'm trying to bring instruction. Complacency is a bad place to be. You can become dull of hearing. Or, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes. And see, when we read that, when I read that, I always say, well, that was Israel. Until one day the Lord said, oh, well, is that you? Has your heart become dull? Have you closed your ears and your eyes so that you don't see and hear? That you just become, maybe later. I'll deal with this tomorrow. Now, if my wife were up here, she would say, oh, that's Bob. He's become a little comfortable sometimes. You know, it's like the tire. I had a tire that had a slow leak in it. I don't know whether any of you had a tire with a slow leak in it, but I've had a tire with a slow leak in it. Yep, too much trouble to take it, get it fixed now. I'll just pump some air into it. Psh, fill her up. Maybe later. I'll deal with that. Why'd that tire go flat? It's only been telling me for 2 months to put air in it and get it fixed. And there it is, flat. All because, you know, we can go down the list, leaky faucets. Yeah, it'll fix itself. We all know leaky faucets fix themselves, but if they don't, complacency. This is an interesting passage from Proverbs, so I picked it out. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. See, the soul of the sluggard says, ah, man, if we just had this, if it just fix itself, it would just do better. Wouldn't that be great? But I'm not going to do it. You know, a lot of times, we'll have somebody come to us as elders and say, you know what we ought to do? We ought to do blah, 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 blah. And you know what I always say? Great. Do it. I'll support it. Well, I didn't want to do it myself. I wanted you to do it. And we have that attitude. I want you to do it, Rusty. You notice Donovan didn't sit down front here, okay? He's so Rusty's going to be my go-to guy today, okay? Just hang in there, Rusty. I only mean half of it. The soul of the sluggard craves, and nothing happens. Just maybe later. I wish we would do that. And so there's always an admonition. God's faithful to give you an admonition, and this is the admonition. Take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. It's like a man away on a journey, who upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning to each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether it's in the evening or midnight, or when the rooster crows or in the morning. Don't become complacent. Be on the alert. And I'll let you in on a little secret. Behind each of these, there's going to be a be alert. Behind compromise and corrosion. Be alert. In case he should come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all. Be on the alert. Quickly, just on the parable, that's another complacency. You know the account that Jesus says, he was going away and he gave one of his servants 5 talents and he gave one of his servants 2 talents and he gave one of his servants 1 talent. And when he comes back, the guy that had 5, he said, "What'd you do with it?" He said, "I doubled it. I went to work. I wasn't complacent. I went to work." And he said, "Okay." And then he went to the guy he gave 2. He said, "What'd you do?" He said, "I went to work. I wasn't complacent. And I doubled it. I have 2 more. That's great." And then the guy gave 1. He said, "What'd you do?" "I hid it. I didn't do anything with it." "What do you mean you didn't do anything with it?" "I knew you were a tough guy to work for, so I hid it in case I lost it." "You nasty servant. You didn't do anything with what I gave you. You were just complacent and hid it." Well, wasn't that fun? Complacency. We move on to compromise. And I want to give you the definition of compromise. Oh, I don't know how I got that. Okay, I guess we're going to corrosion next. Corrosion. Corrosion is a gradual decomposition as a result of reactions to our surroundings. See, and one of the examples, which is figurative, we are witnessing the corrosion of moral standards in our society. Corrosion. Corrosion's almost imperceptible. When you have corrosion, it's just slowly eating away. And you never notice it. The Tin Man. Don't you love him? See, he just needed a heart, but you know what? The story goes that every time he went out and it rained, it began to corrode and he couldn't move. And that's what corrosion is. Corrosion is slowly eating away at you. And if we'd have just had some oil, we'd have kept him working. Oil. So when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. And we understand in this parable that the oil is the Holy Spirit. And God has poured his Holy Spirit out on you, and he has filled you with his Holy Spirit. And this passage from Ephesians, "Do not be drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." And that word filled in that process there is not you just don't get filled once. It's a renewal. Keep filling me, Lord, that I don't get rusty, that I don't get stiff, that I don't corrode. Speaking to one another in hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, singing together with medley in our hearts. We can do that with one another. We can oil one another by not being complacent, by saying, yeah, I want to encourage. I want to give inspiration. I want to have a testimony. Next week, bring a testimony. That's what church is about. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. See, corrosion, you just get tired. You just get weary. You say, oh, it's better. I'm going to watch Judge Judy this afternoon. That'll be inspirational. Yeah. And we begin to corrode. And the devil says, that's fine. You're okay. Don't worry about it. God loves you. I know he loves me. Just stay there and corrode. Because I don't want you up and about. I'd sooner have you. The judge, you never know what she's going to say. Let's get that on. Okay, enough of that. Oh, wait a minute. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. I don't know what happened to to compromise. So I'm going to have to do compromise cold. Compromise, by its definition, means to accept standards that are lower than desirable. See, we think compromise is really great, but sometimes it's a weakening or giving up of our principles or ideals for reasons of expediency. If I were to classify this, I would say, but yes, I'm willing to compromise my beliefs, my principles. I mean, everybody else is cheating on their taxes, aren't they? Why do I alone have to be the one who doesn't cheat? I mean, look at those millionaires and billionaires. They don't pay any taxes at all. It'll be okay. And we begin to compromise our principles. You know, Romans talks about a lot of compromise right in the very beginning. He says, you know, they traded truth for a lie. And sometimes we're willing to compromise our principles for what's okay when it's not okay. Another story. I have a grandson who was at that time about 4. And we had a neighbor who had a dog. And dog's name was Berkeley. And Berkeley kind of ran around in the neighborhood free. We lived in the boonies, so it didn't really matter. And Berkeley got to liking us, and we gave him milk bones whenever he came to the door. And one day, my grandson was there. He may be 3, maybe 4 years old. in Berkeley. Friendliest dog you'd ever want to see. Frank Berkeley's at the door. He's been out, and he's looking for a milk bone. And we say, oh, Berkeley's here. You'll love Berkeley. We open the door, and Berkeley bounds in. Berkeley's sort of a boxer-type-looking dog, all muscle. And into my grandson, Berkeley flies, tail wagging, short tail, so stubby little thing. And we said, oh, it's okay. It's okay. And he said, no, it's not. No, it's not. And I'm thinking, well, it was okay to me. I'm bigger than Berkeley, and I know Berkeley, but he doesn't know Berkeley very well, and Berkeley's slobbering all over him and knocking him down, and it's not okay. And so compromise, we need to come to the point where we say, is my moral conduct being compromised? Is my moral conduct being compromised? What am I compromising? Because the culture tells me to do that. What am I compromising? Scripture says, therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do, this is from James 4:17, the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him, it is just okay. No, it doesn't say that. To him, it's sin. And so, compromise. The devil will come to you and say, it's okay. Give a little, take a little. All right. You don't have to stand. You don't have to stand for those principles of Christ. You don't have to let him form in you. Just compromise a little bit. Okay. So, I need to conclude all of this. Where's my picture? Hop me on to the picture of Jesus stomping on the devil. There we are. Scripture tells us how to combat corrosion, complacency, and compromise. And I'm going to use three scriptures. Complacency. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Beloved, be steadfast. Don't be compliant. Don't be complacent. Be immovable. Always, always abounding. Abounding in what God has for you. Compromise. It's God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God is in you. He's working in you. You don't need to compromise. Stand firm. Hold fast. Do all things. Without grumbling and complaining, so that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent. Children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, hold to your principles, among whom you appear as lights in the world. Prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent. That's conduct. So, there's a reason. corrosion. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Don't let corrosion eat away at you. Stand on that verse right there. God is in you, and he is greater than he who is in the world. Don't put up with the subtleties, the deceptions of the enemy. Because he would like nothing better than you to say, "Oh, it's so hard. I need to compromise," or "I'm fine. It's comfortable where I'm at," complacency. Or am I just being eaten away at day after day, and I become so weary, so tired, I just can't do it anymore. I just can't. I can't do it anymore. I'm tired. No, greater is he who is in you than he who's in the world. Remember that. For this reason, it says, "Awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine in you." Awake. Be alert. Stay awake. Don't let the enemy subtly deceive you in not being fervent for the Lord. Now, I'm going to close with this particular scripture because it's one that I fall back on all the time. And it's so true. And if Paul can write this, it gives me encouragement and helps me say, I'm going forward. "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on. I press on. I press on to the goal, toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus." Let that also be your, "Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world." And I am willing to say, today, I'm willing to press on. Today, I lay aside what has been in the past, and I move forward. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day I press on. Today. Not maybe tomorrow. Not yes, but. Or, boy, I wish. But today I press on to lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of. Amen. Amen.